This Christian podcast is designed to help us walk a stronger Christian life in today's troubled world. This is God's Amazing Grace Podcast with Sean.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back once again to God's Amazing Grace. I'm your host, Sean. Got a question for you. I think I've asked it before. I may or I may not, if I can't remember offhand, but I want to know, what is a testimony? What does it mean? Do you think a testimony can help others? I think in today's episode, we're going to talk about testimonies and how it can touch others. See, some of us have testimonies. Some of us have a testimony. Some of us have more than one testimony. When I'm talking about testimonies, I'm talking about those coming to Jesus testimonies, where you were saved, how you were saved, that road that you took to be saved. That is a testimony. And then there are testimonies on how God gave you children. You prayed and prayed and prayed. You and your husband prayed and prayed and prayed. And God finally gave you children. Or how he saved you from alcohol or drugs, pornography. What is your testimony? So on today's episode, I am going to read you a couple of testimonies and see how it makes you feel. I haven't read these testimonies myself because I want to know how it makes me feel as well. I know when you hear testimonies in church, a lot of the times you can feel the Spirit moving through those testimonies, those sincere testimonies that doesn't say, I, me, whatever, boast myself up, but they give all the glory and the honor and praise to God. They're truly sincere testimonies. So, before we get started, though, I want to ask you another simple question. If you like this podcast, if it has been a help to you, can you share it with others? Share it with family. Share it with friends. Share it with all your friends and family and whatnots on Facebook, all your social media avenues that you have, people that follow you. Share it. Get the word out. We're reaching through the podcast and the avenues that we're taking. We're reaching over 60 countries. I've just set up here the last couple weeks through all of our Christian family in India, through Ghana and Jio Savan. You can listen to us there now. You know, India has over 1 billion people in the country alone, which is a Hindu nation. But there are over 1 million Christians in that country. So I'm sure that they need and want to hear all they can about God and his word and how it's touching people in other countries and nations. I'd like to get into China and help with the Christians in that country, but from what I'm seeing, it is a very hard avenue to get into. They're being persecuted left and right. I would like to hear some of their testimonies, some of the testimonies from the families and the friends in India that we have. So in India, just remember, it's Ghana. I believe it's pronounced Ghana and Geosavan or Savan or however you pronounce it. You can listen to me on there as well. Or you can find me on Google, Anchor, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Amazon. We're on over 10 formats there. And then I want to thank everybody that is listening. We are pushing a new area that I'm really excited about. We're right on the border of having over 5,000 listens in less than 4 months, if you add it all out. Yeah, I've been doing this for a little bit more than 4 months, but with all the episodes and stuff I was doing there for a while, I was doing a couple a week. Then it went to one, and then I'd skip some weeks. So I think this will be like the 25th episode since this pandemic started, because that's why I started this podcast. Because suicide rates were skyrocketing. People were getting depressed. And I figured, what better time than to start a podcast, because people really needed to hear from Jesus, hear about Jesus, to help them during these times of being cooped up, locked up, throwing away the key type of times where you couldn't go and do anything. I'd like to thank everybody that has listened and continues to listen. Those followers, those subscribers. You know, eventually I'd like to get to where I'm on YouTube, to where I'd like to have a video when I have guests. We'll be on video talking to each other. So share it with people. Then let me know how it's touched you. I want to hear from you. I've heard from Tamara when I read her testimony last week. She sent me a thing back and said, I really enjoyed it. It was a good episode. See, stuff like that. I'd like to hear from you people about that. You can go on our website, www.godamazinggrace.com. Sign up for emails. We're working on sending out a monthly email to update you on things that are going on, what we hear, who we hear from. Sign up for email so we can send these updates to you. Then we will have more guests, more trivia, gifts that we're going to give away. And also, when you're in the website, search the store out. This time of the year is really busy, so I'm having a hard time setting up more merchandise. Go in there and check it out. And if you find that little microphone, leave me a message. I'll play your message on the air. Send us emails. It's God's Amazing Grace Podcast at Outlook.com. Yeah, it's kind of hard. I hopefully here in the future will be abbreviating that to make it a little bit smaller and a little bit easier to follow. Look for us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. God's Amazing Grace podcast group on Facebook. Join us. You're more than welcome to join us. You can post what you want to post about anything that glorifies God there. We're there for you. We want to be a blessing to you as well as you be a blessing to others and us. That's why we're doing testimonies. You know, I talked to a friend of mine, which I'm going to have him on a podcast here pretty soon in the next few weeks. I hope to have him on a podcast. I went to school with him down in Georgia, and he's about as southern as you will hear his voice when he talks. He's from Mississippi, and he's about as southern as they come. Sound southern. I'm going to have him sing a couple of songs for us and, you know, just kind of talk to him, catch up, chit chat with him, let him hear more about God, how God has touched him. I'm going to read his testimony. He goes to a church down there in Mississippi that in 2017, I believe it was, they published a book on testimonies in there from people in their church. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. So, you know, if I have time, I'll read his wife's testimony as well. But I think now that I'm looking at, I've never read this testimony. But his testimony is very long. So let's begin this episode with a testimony. And in this book, it's called Miracle Number 9, From Bad to Worse to Blessed. And I hope Mark doesn't mind, but I will give you his full name. It's a testimony of Mark Coleman. He goes to say, is on March 3rd, 2016, although I was feeling sick, Teresa, my wife, and I were on our way to Milledgeville, Georgia, to attend my sister's wedding on the 7th day of March. The day before, I'd begun to have severe hiccups that didn't want to go away. I was running a slight fever, having shortness of breath, light chest pains, and very weak. I would have gone to the doctor first, but I wanted to make sure my sister's wedding went well because I was a minister to perform that wedding. Doug, my future brother-in-law, told me when I arrived that I looked terrible. He even said I needed to see a doctor. I told him I would be okay and would see a doctor when I got back to Mississippi. He continued several times to convince me to go to the hospital during my visit. But everyone knows how stubborn a man can get when it concerns going to the doctor. I agree with you there, Mark. I do not like going to the doctors. Somehow, I was able to get through the wedding without any problems, and even the hiccups subsided long enough. I know Jesus took care of that. On March 8th, we started back to Mississippi early in the morning. We stayed in my sister's rental trailer in Stockbridge, Georgia, just south of Atlanta, the night before because it was an hour closer. Just west of 285 on Interstate 20. If any of you have been to Atlanta, you should know those highways. Our van started acting up, and I began to exit an off ramp. I barely got off the ramp when it completely went dead, making a loud noise. We didn't have enough money to get a record. A gentleman stopped to assist us. He knew of a place about 5 miles away, and he pushed us with his truck to the shop. The mechanic was not able to assist us, so he pushed us to a parking lot close by so we could contact Doug to help us. It was going to be a few hours before he could get to us, so we decided to take a nap. After about an hour nap, I had to get some air, so I got out of the van. While I was holding myself up by the door, I began to tell my wife, call 911. She was dialing the number as I spoke. I don't think it took 2 minutes before firefighters, EMR, showed up, and it wasn't long before the ambulance was there. I started losing consciousness while in the ambulance. The next 3 days, I had lost all sense of time and was in and out of consciousness. I began to hallucinate, seeing the baseboards along the wall rise up and seeing people working in lower floors. In my mind, it was the president's people executing orders to destroy the United States. I was seeing green, yellow dust floating very thick in the air. And on the fourth day, I even said, Teresa, this is the dirtiest hospital I have ever seen. She told me that it was a very clean hospital. She had no idea what I was talking about until I got better and told her what I was seeing. The doctors at the well-starred Cobb Hospital in Austell, Georgia, said that I had these problems. Congestive heart failure. The right side of my heart was enlarged, possibly due to sleep apnea. Pulmonary hypertension, acute kidney failure, fluid on my lungs, severe urinary tract infection, and sleep apnea. They told Teresa that out of these 6 problems, 4 were life-threatening. After we heard this, requests for prayers went out throughout Facebook, and several people were calling and praying the whole time I was in the hospital. I began getting somewhat better. I started begging the doctors after the fourth day to release me. They told me that they would not release me until they knew and agreed together, lung specialists, heart specialists, pulmonary specialists, and their superiors, that I was able to be discharged because I do not have insurance. I believe that God allowed this whole trip to take place because Mississippi hospitals would have released me that day and would have told me to see my doctor, which I could not afford. On about the 6th day, I began to worry about how we were going to get back to Mississippi. So I began praying about this situation. Not long after this, I received a call from Brother Arnold Amason, pastor of the Thorn Church of God. He told me that I had no other way back to Mississippi. He told me that if I had no other way back to Mississippi, to call him, and he would make sure we got home. What surprised me was we were not members of the Thorn Church of God and only went maybe once or twice a month. That was another answer to prayer. Going back the first to the first day of the hospital, Teresa had called my lawyer in Atlanta. I had applied for disability due to the back injury from 1984, a few months prior to this incident. She told them that they needed to step up on my disability because I was in the hospital near death, and if they did not believe it, to come see them, me for themselves. They had her to call my representative with the disability and explain to her what was going on. I knew that God was helping with this also, because it wasn't even a week after I was released that they called me and told me that I was approved and how much I would be getting. They did not want me to travel right after I was released, so my sister told them that she had a rental trailer in Stockbridge, Georgia, that we could stay in until I was able to leave. After 8 days in the hospital, I was finally released. About 1 week later, I was able to travel, but not drive. So we called Brother Amoson, and he said he would bring the church van because he had carried a lot of things, including my guitar, amp, clothes, etc. We had carried a lot of things, including my guitar, amp, clothes, etc. On the trip back, Brother Amoson said, "Mark, I don't want you to be offended, but I need to mention something to you." I felt I knew what he was going to say. He began to talk to me about my smoking habit, but it was not in a judgmental way. It was more in a loving way. He expressed his love and explained how he didn't want to see me go out that way. I told him that I was glad he did talk to me. I told him that I was glad he did talk to me about it, because I know as a pastor, he was to tell me what God wants for me. I am thankful for that. Now, thanks to Jesus and all the prayers from friends and family on January 14th, Teresa and I smoked our last cigarettes. If you notice, there are several miracles in this testimony. My health is better. I'm seeing my doctor. Like I should. As of today, March 28th, 2017, we have been free of tobacco, and we feel better because of it. I give Jesus all the praise, because without him, I would have died in Atlanta, Georgia, in March of 2016. So, did you hear all those miracles that he was talking about? God provided a way. God provided a way for him to get his van to a shop. I think God did this to say, you're not going to make it back. You're going to pass out somewhere driving down the road, and you both could have died. But God's mercy and grace kept him from doing that. And through it all, God took the desires of that nasty habit away, and he smoked free. There's someone out there listening that heard this testimony that is going through some of the same things. See what God can do? If you want to give up smoking, ask God to take those desires away from you. He'll do it. If you're sincere and you really want it, he'll do it. You know, people want to get healthy. You got to get rid of the old habits to do the new healthy habits. So you out there listening right now, stop doing what you're doing and ask God to take those desires away from me. If it comes down to it, every time you touch a cigarette, get sick from it. And then in the same process, God will help you to go through those withdrawals also. So let's take a break. I'm going to highlight another business like I've been doing the last episode and this episode. And come back and I'll read you another testimony. And then we'll kind of go through explaining why these testimonies are important. I think already through this first one, you can see why. So come on back right after this break and we will have another testimony. Hey, everybody. On this Christian business, I'm going to talk about a business that's near and dear to my heart. I'm going to talk about Eternity Ready Radio. I've mentioned it on my podcast before about Eternity Ready Radio, but my brother in Christ, Jeremiah Ferris, is in charge of everything. And if you get a chance, go to EternityReadyRadio.com and check it out. He has Eternity Ready TV and a few other things that you can check out. And you can also listen to our podcast on Thursday evenings from 6 to 7 Central Time, to where his radio station reaches 20 plus countries, and they're working on more. And they also, in the mornings, they play some good old tunes that we used to listen to when we were younger. So give them a listen. Give them a check out. That's EternityReadyRadio.com. That is my Christian business of the week.
Welcome back. This is God's Amazing Grace podcast with Sean.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back from this break. I hope you do get a chance to check out EternityReadyRadio.com. And I'm pretty sure if you do, Jeremiah will much appreciate that. Well, for those of you who remember, I was talking about testimonies. I was reading a testimony from my friend Mark. And we were talking about different things that pretty much saved his life. So, you know, there are many, many, many Bible verses that back up giving testimonies. I mean, sharing your testimony with others is a must for all Christians. When giving your testimony, you tell how you came to trust in Christ alone as your Lord and Savior. You tell how God opened your eyes and how you are a sinner that needs a Savior. We are sharing with others different events leading up to salvation and how God has worked in our lives to bring us to that repentance. A testimony is a form of praise and honor to God. I don't know if you remember hearing them talk about it in, you know, your church services, where once in a while you'll have a praise and a testimony service where everybody stands up and gives their a testimony of something that had happened to them during the week. You know, you'll hear them say, "I'd like to give all the praise and glory and honor to God for, like Mark, for bringing him out of these situations that he was in. These situations that nearly killed him. And he gave God all the praise and the honor for it." We use our testimonies to encourage others. Encourage others on how to quit smoking cigarettes. You know, your testimony can encourage someone that is addicted to alcohol and drugs, to pornography. Know every time when you're going through trials and sufferings in life that it's an opportunity to share testimony of how God worked in your life and made you stronger. Sharing that testimony will make you stronger. Testimony is not only a thing that we say. The way we live, our life is a testimony to unbelievers as well. Think about it. Giving your testimony is a great thing, but living your testimony is even greater. Look at the way Jesus lived his life. You know, there was that saying a while back, "What would Jesus do?" WWJD, what would Jesus do? I think, personally, if you want to reach somebody, is practice what you preach. Jesus touched the multitudes by practicing what he preached. He didn't come at people hating them. He showed them love. You know, I've seen it time and time again. You go to work. You claim to be a Christian. And you're being watched. Trust me, I've seen it and I've heard it. "Oh, you're not a Christian. You don't live the way a Christian should live." Yes, we're not perfect, but our life is a testimony to that lost person. You come to work with a smile on your face every day. That's one of our challenges we had, the 30-day challenge of smiling, paying it forward. That's a testimony to others. They're going to say, "Hey, I want to be like you. I want to live that life like you live." Testimonies reach people. And your life is a testimony. Yes, your words are testimony that come out of your mouth. But the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you live your life is the biggest testimony of them all. You know, when we give our testimonies, we must be careful not to lie or exaggerate about things. We must be careful as well that we don't brag or glorify ourselves. Remember what I said. I give God all the glory, the honor, and the praise. You know, a big thing is instead of talking about Jesus, they use an opportunity to talk about themselves, which isn't a testimony at all. I'm pretty sure you heard people even bragging about their past life, about before Christ, as if it were cool. Here's an example. I used to do this and that. I was a killer. I was making $10,000 a month selling cocaine, blah, blah, blah. And then Jesus. Examine your motives before you give a testimony. It's all about Jesus and his glory. Don't make it about yourself. When we share to build each other up. Your testimony, remember, your testimony can make a huge impact on someone else's life. You know, I've got this from a place online that says there's Christian quotes about testimonies. Your story is a key that can unlock someone's prison. Only God can turn mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into triumph, a victim into a victory. What God is bringing you through at this very moment will be the testimony that brings someone else's through. No mess, no message. If you give it to God, he transforms your test into a testimony, your mess into a message, and your misery into a ministry. Billy Graham quoted, "The unbelieving world should see our testimony lived out daily because it just may point them to the Savior." See, look at Billy Graham. He's a perfect example of a living testimony. People seeing him, not only by his words, but by the way he lived, they knew who he was and what he stood for. You know, 1 John 5:11 says, "This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is found in his Son." 1 John 5:10, "The one who believes in the Son of God has this testimony within him. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony God has given about his Son." What does the Bible say about testimonies? Here we go. Psalm 71:15-16. "I will declare your righteousness and your salvation every day. Though I do not fully understand what the outcome will be, Lord God, I will come in the power of your mighty acts, remembering your righteousness, yours alone." Mark 5:19, "But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." That's a testimony. Psalm 22:22, "I will praise you to all my brothers. I will stand up before the congregation and testify of the wonderful things you have done." Psalm 66:16, "Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. John 15, 26, 27. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. 1 John 1, 2 through and 3. The life was revealed to us, and we have seen it and testified about it. We declared you this eternal life that was the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we declare to you, so that you too can have the fellowship with us. Now this fellowship is ours is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus, the Messiah. See, that's one of salvation right there. That's a scripture of how your testimony can bring others to salvation. And when they come to salvation, they will fellowship with the Father and the Son and Jesus the Messiah. Psalms 35, 28 says, my tongue will declare your righteousness and praise you all day long. Daniel 4, verse 2, I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders of the Most High God has performed for me. See, here's some scriptures of encouraging each other by sharing testimonies. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us continue to consider how to motivate one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another even more as you see the day of the Lord coming near. Here's some scripture you can use your life as a testimony. Unbelievers will look closely at the life of Christians. Philippians 1, 27 through 30. Above all, we must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in the manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed in Christ, but that you are going to be saved, even by God Himself. For you have given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light for the world. A city cannot be hidden when it is located on a hill. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, everyone who lights a lamp puts it on a lampstand. Then it lights shine on everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in front of people. Then they will see the good that you do and the praise you for your Father in heaven. 1 Peter 2:21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. You know, there's plenty of testimonies here, scripture here, that talk about your testimony. Yes, it talks about sharing a testimony of how you come to Christ. But a lot of it's also talking about how you live your life. Let your light shine in front of people. That's talking about living your life, living the way Christ wants you to live, so that people can see how God has touched you. Use your suffering as an opportunity to give a testimony. Luke 21:12-14. But therefore, all these things, people will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and the prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake, in order to give you an opportunity to testify. Philippians 1:12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. So I take pleasure in weakness, insult, catastrophes, persecution, and in pressure because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Here's a big one. Unashamed of the gospel that saves. 2 Timothy 1:8. Therefore, never be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Instead, by God's power, join me in suffering for the sake of the gospel. Matthew 10:32. Everyone who acknowledges me in public here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Here's some reminders. Galatians 6:14. But I may never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Here's some biblical examples. John 9:24-25. So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. No matter what the Pharisees and the Sadducees said to him, Jesus was a sinner. He said, I don't care what you say. No matter what you say, I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. Mark 5:20. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of the region and began to proclaim the great news Jesus has done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Here's a bonus. Revelations 12:11. They triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So there you go. There are some scriptures about why we should give and live our testimony. Why is it so hard for we as Christians to give a testimony? Are we embarrassed? Are we ashamed? Doesn't scripture talk about being ashamed of the gospel? Yes, it does. It says everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Basically, he's saying, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And I won't talk to you about God. I won't talk to my Father about you. How many of you out there right now have a testimony to give, to want to share a testimony? There's still time to send in your testimonies. There's still times to share your testimony. We have plenty of time to live that testimony. As you're sitting there listening to these words, think to yourself, have I lived that testimony? No, I'm not saying we're not going to fall. We aren't perfect. We're far from being perfect. But when you give that testimony, I read the scriptures that said it. When you give that testimony, you will become stronger and stronger. I used to say, I may not be perfect, but each day I'm striving for perfection. Share your testimony. As tomorrow starts and you go out into this world, some of you are on the weekends, some of you are starting the week. Share your testimony. And remember, there are people out there that are watching you. Are you giving them enough to watch to say, hey, I want some of that? And then when they come and talk to you, you can give them your testimony and tell them how Jesus has touched you. I challenge you to share your testimony. To live that testimony. So that Jesus can say, Father, I am very proud of so-and-so. Look what he's done for you, for your kingdom. Remember not to boast about it, to exaggerate, but to tell the truth. It doesn't have to be a miraculous testimony. Oh, God did this, God did that. Like Mark said, God helped me to stop smoking. Simple enough. Go out into the world and preach and teach the gospel. Share your testimony, and there will he be. Then will he come. I'd like to thank you all for listening. Hopefully you can go out into the world and share the gospel. Share your testimony. Let me know. Send me your testimonies. And we shall see you next time. God bless, and go out and share your word. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Apple, Google, Spotify, SND, many more. See you next time. This is God's Amazing Grace Podcast with Sean.